This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 7th, 2019. Welcome. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, the Is It Just Me commentary. Headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest. The Big Deal feature. Carlos Bruno Ferreira da Silva, federal prosecutor and deputy head of International Cooperation Unit for Brazil, talks about the Operation Car Wash Anti-Corruption Squad. He was in Vancouver for the recent Trace International Bribery and Economic Crime Summit. And I will award a virtual Nanaimo bar to a difference maker. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or should we all stand up and applaud BC Premier John Horgan for standing up for consumers and threatening to take big oil companies to court for not showing the BC Utilities Commission how they come up with the prices we pay at the pump? Suncor, Parkland, Husky, Shell, and Imperial are all balking at the Utilities Commission, which has promised to keep the numbers confidential for its ongoing probe. Are those companies hiding their own business information, or are they hiding evidence of collusion and price fixing? I say we applaud Horgan, but we should also remind Horgan on another file about transparency, about his promises that he made about stopping government secrecy. The NDP ran on a platform against the BC Liberals in 2017 that included promised reforms to the Freedom of Information laws and a duty to document law with teeth and fines. The BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association launched a petition last week to urge Horgan to stop breaking promises. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim. Minnie Chan reports in the South China Morning Post, 12 years behind bars for corrupt former boss of Chinese warship builder CSIC. Shanghai No. 1 Intermediate People's Court sentenced Sun Bo, former general manager of China Shipbuilding Industry Corporation, to 12 years in prison for taking bribes and abuse of power, said state news agency Xinhua. The court also fined Sun more than $116,000 U.S. and ordered the confiscation of bribes and gifts accepted by Sun and his wife. Sun was detained in June of last year and later expelled from the Communist Party. Park Han-na reports in the Korea Herald, experts skeptical of Moon's claim of a de facto end of war declaration between U.S. and North Korea. After Donald Trump crossed into North Korea to greet Kim Jong-un and they met for an hour in the truce village, South Korea's President Moon said, quote, their action was tantamount to the de facto declaration of an end to hostile relations, end quote. Some local media outlets interpreted the president's remarks as his view that Washington and Pyongyang have now declared an end to the 1950-1953 Korean War, which was halted only with an armistice. For the Trump-Kim meeting to be seen as an agreement on ending the war, there should have been messages regarding a peace regime on the Korean Peninsula, said Shin Bom-chul, director of the Center for Security and Unification at the Asian Institute for Policy Studies. Georgie Burgess reports in ABC News Australia, wildlife expert Nick Mooney says eagle wind farm deaths higher than reported. A wildlife expert has called for independent monitoring and studies into eagle deaths caused by wind farms, warning that the problem is only going to get worse as the industry expands in Tasmania. 12 eagle deaths have been reported by Tasmania's largest wind farm since its construction in 2013. Under the law, wind farms must pay compensation when such endangered birds are killed. A wildlife expert has criticized the system, saying the actual death rate could be higher than reported and that the offsets are blood money that are ineffective. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast. Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest. Diana Cruzman reports in the Oregonian, Portland's homeless campers face new obstacle, piles of boulders. The state agency this year has piled up more rocks and spent more money than ever before in a stepped-up effort to deter illegal camping near Portland's freeways. a move that has drawn support from residents living around the camps, but criticism from homeless advocacy groups. So far in 2019, ODOT has placed boulders at 5 sites at a cost of more than $800,000. That dwarfs its earlier effort, 3 other sites, and about $200,000 since 2013. The boulders are a form of hostile architecture or defensive design, terms coined to describe impediments used in cities across the country to discourage sleeping on park benches, along roadways, and near storefronts. David Rasbach reports in the Bellingham Herald, man wearing boxers allegedly steals sleepwear during Bellingham burglary spree. A man who apparently began an alleged burglary spree clothed only in red and black striped boxers, but quickly changed into and out of sleepwear he stole along the way, reportedly broke into 2 Quardata neighborhood homes and was seen in the backyard of a third on June 28th. Bellingham police booked Christopher A. Shemusiak, 22, into Whatcom County Jail on suspicion of 2 counts of residential burglary and 1 count of second-degree theft. According to jail records, he is being held in lieu of a $50,000 bond. And last week in the Breaker.News, these headlines. Human rights concerns not enough to stop Richmond mayor from China's party for local government officials. Embattled security boss, the third executive to suddenly leave BC Lottery Corporation. And no joy for Air Canada worker fired for absconding with almonds. Read the stories behind those headlines in the Breaker.News. This is the big deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. They call it Lava Jato, Operation Car Wash, the massive investigation into billions of dollars of embezzlement involving Brazil's national oil company, Petrobras. The scandal that was uncovered at a car wash in capital city Brasilia also implicated Brazilian engineering and construction giant Odebrecht. Dozens of businessmen and dozens of politicians have been caught in the bribery scandal. It even ended the careers of Presidents Lula da Silva and Dilma Rousseff, who were both sent to jail for corruption. It has not been without critics who say that charges against the 2 ex-presidents were politically motivated. Brazilian Justice Minister Sergio Moro was previously a judge for several Operation Car Wash cases and is accused of bias against Lula. Operation Car Wash was recognized by the Ellard Prize for International Integrity in 2017 at the University of British Columbia. Governments from around the world have looked at the integrated Operation Car Wash model, even British Columbia's Attorney General, David Eby. One of the federal prosecutors from Brazil, Carlos Bruno Ferreira da Silva, was in Vancouver on June 26th for the Trace International Bribery and Economic Crime Summit. Da Silva is also deputy head of Brazil's International Cooperation Unit. I interviewed Da Silva and asked him about the underpinnings of Brazil's anti-corruption strategy, not just in Operation Car Wash, but for other investigations, such as the Rio 2016 Olympics corruption scandal. This is what he had to say.
We saw that in Brazil, normally the investigations of bribery reach a dead point. So we try to change things a little. So we base it in 4 ideas. The first one, the idea of task force. We designate prosecutors for our big case, and they work just in these big cases full time until reach some decision or some prosecution. The second one was coordination between the agents of Brazil. Brazil has a lot of agents that deals with corruption, like the federal police, like the IRS, the Court of Audit, Comptroller General, and we try to coordinate between all these agents for them to work together and reach a common goal. And the third idea was the collaboration system. We have a law that permits collaboration with persons, with, mm-hmm. we call collaboration defendants. And we have another law, the Clean Company Act, that allows us to make deals with companies that we call leniency agreements. And the fourth idea is the international cooperation. We saw that without the help of other countries, especially the countries where the criminals of Brazil launder money, we need this assistance of the other countries to have evidence so we can prosecute our cases in Brazil, and the most important thing, to have the assets recovered to Brazil. So we really worked hard in the international cooperation to have a good relationship with many countries like Switzerland and United States, and that was the fourth idea for our work in car wash cases and other big bribery cases in Brazil.
One of the key planks of that is to get the criminal informants. You talked about how you have a law and the ability to make deals with the criminal informants to get them in to give you a list of 10 people and keep on growing.
Yes, that's really important because we just get one person inside the criminal organization. But with one person, we can make a deal with this person, and they will give us 10 names. And normally, one of these 10 names will make another deal with us and give us another 10 names and more 10 names. And easy as that, we have 100 names and we have a lot of information to prosecute our cases. So it's really, really important. And of these four ideas, I think it's the most important.
You described it almost like a Ponzi scheme. You build a pyramid.
Yes. It's like this. It's like a pyramid. We began with someone, and at some moment we have a base with hundreds of people or hundreds of persons that we can try to have a deal and try to negotiate a deal and have more information. And at some time we have the idea of all the crimes that were made by this criminal organization ready because of all these people.
Mm-hmm. And you talked in there about another case, the Greenfields case, that's regarding
funds. Yes, I tried to show that the car wash case has begun with Petrobras, but now it's much more than just Petrobras. It's really a standard of a crime that has happened in Brazil, that public companies give money to businessmen, and these businessmen give back money, give bribes to the politicians and to the managers, to the directors of these public companies. That has happened with Petrobras, that has happened with Caixa Econômica, it's a bank in Brazil, BNDES is a development bank of the Brazilian government, has happened many times. And I would like to give the example of the Greenfield operation that happens in Brasilia. It's not a car wash case, but works like a car wash task force, mm-hmm. and involves retirement funds of public companies in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there is also a development in the Odebrecht case.
Yes. Just yesterday, there was a leakage in Ecuador of some information because Odebrecht has it in the papers. Odebrecht had a bank to pay bribes in Panama, and they have this accountability to pay bribes. But when they made the deal with Brazil, they had lost the password to the computer that had the records of this accountability. But we have found this computer in Switzerland, and we have now this computer. And we are trying to see if Odebrecht has forgot something to say something to us of one of the many bribes they have paid off for all these years. And we are investigating this case, but there was a leakage yesterday in Ecuador. It was in the papers of Ecuador, and said that Odebrecht has paid a lot of bribes around the South America. And we're trying to see what's it's already in the information that Odebrecht has gave us and what is in this new information we got from the data in the computer of Odebrecht.
Of course, many aspects of the Rio Olympics intersect with
Yes. That could be said too. It was a great partnership between the Parquet Financier of France and the Federal Prosecution Service in Brazil. I know it's already in the press. They found some bribes that were paid in Paris to a delegate from Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
For Rio to receive the Olympic Games of 2016, mm-hmm. now the Olympic Games. And Yes, the ex-president of our Olympic
Carlos
Nussmann is in jail, and it's a big case for us. It, for example, this case it's in car wash, in the car wash task force of Rio, but it's not a proper car wash case because it's not involved. It's not involving Petrobras, for example. It's another bribery. So I was trying to explain that the car wash brand now relates to many cases of corruption of Brazil.
Mm-hmm. And finally, are you talking with authorities in other countries to share notes about setting up a task force like car wash? In the province of Quebec here in Canada, there is an anti-corruption task force.
Yes. I didn't say that in my presentation, which was a short presentation. But another goal of the International Cooperation Union of Brazil is to have joint investigation teams with other countries around the world. We have proposals from Italy, Spain, France, Paraguay, Argentina, and Peru. And it's very important for us. We have contact with prosecutors of many countries, including Canada, because the Federal Prosecution Service in Brazil is the central authority to Canada. But that would be wonderful to have joint investigation teams with other countries. The Palermo Convention and the Merida Convention of anti-organized crime and anti-corruption allows us to have joint investigation teams with other countries. So that's really a possibility, and I think in the near future, Brazil will have a lot of JITs with other countries.
That was my interview with Carlos Bruno Ferreira da Silva, Deputy Head of the International Cooperation Unit for Brazil's Federal Prosecutors. He was in Vancouver on June 26th for the TRACE International Bribery and Economic Crime Summit.
Hi, Justin P.J. Trudeau.
No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways. We have a merit-based, transparent appointment system. It was a significant improvement over the process that Stephen Harper and the Conservatives had in place that was not transparent, not merit-based. We are pleased that we have nominated top-notch judges right across the country, and we will continue to.
Will you review those appointments in New Brunswick?
We are fully confident that the process, the transparent, merit-based process that we've put in place is the right one, and we stand by it.
I, Justin P.J. Trudeau. No!
Sunny ways, my friends. Sunny ways.
The virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting. Every week, we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo bar to a deserving person or organization that has made a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to the usual gang of idiots that has brought the world Mad Magazine since the 1950s. They're breaking up this fall when Mad ceases publishing new content. They have put a smile on the faces of millions. They've made politicians and pop culture figures cringe. What, me worry? Yes, I do worry about the retirement of Alfred E. Newman, that lovable, gap-toothed kid who has never aged. So, from the province where there is a real place called Squamish, to the magazine that brought us Tom Koch's classic 43-man Squamish sports parody, I salute the usual gang of idiots at Mad Magazine. You can nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 7th, 2019. I'm Bob Mack, and thanks for joining me. Did you know that on July 7th in 1928, sliced bread was sold for the first time in Chillicothe, Missouri? In 1912, Otto Frederick Rohwedder invented the first slicing machine. Now you know. Send me your feedback. Send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit thebreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/thebreakernews. That's patreon.com/thebreakernews. Until next week.